When should you, as a parent, baptize your children? Today in Life Talks, we're going to be dealing with that question. It's an important question I think a lot of parents struggle with today. Here on Life Talks, I'm Ben. I'm here with Josh, our producer. Josh, how are you doing today?
Good. Good to see you.
Good. Did you guys have a good Easter?
It was really fun. The fun thing this year was that my wife and I, really upped the level of difficulty for the Easter egg hunt. We had a 13 and a 11-year-old hunting eggs, and it's like, we've been in this house for like 6 years now. It's like, there's nowhere, what else are we going to do?
Right.
But we really ratcheted up to the point, and I am bragging about this. I never brag, but I'm going to brag about it. We do the Easter egg basket hunt thing in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
They could not find either of the two Easter egg baskets, even when we told them what room of the house it was
in. That's unbelievable.
We did
awesome. Man, way to go, man.
That was fun. What about you? What did you guys do?
I mean, I preached.
Yeah, that's right. You had a good morning. Busy morning.
To me, there's nothing more joyous than seeing a full packed house where, you know, we had three services. And it wasn't just that. It's not just we had people here. It's the fact that I met so many visitors who were invited by people from our church home that were like, hey, they brought their friends, they brought their family. And to me, that just brought joy to my heart. And even talking to a lot of people I should say this, I talked to so many people who invited, but the person they invited didn't come. But I just rejoice in the behavior. I rejoice in that they were faithful.
They were, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think a lot of times we're like, oh man, it's not about succeeding, or it's not about what you did. I mean, because a lot of that is it's up to God, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it was just a wonderful day. I mean, just spent it with family. It was a beautiful day, you know?
Yes, it was.
And, so it was a wonderful day of celebration, and just had a great time with family. And I felt very full and grateful at the end of it. So, good Easter. And, all right, so Josh.
Yep.
Let's just kind of be honest. When were you baptized?
Okay.
As a child?
I think I was 8 or 9.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. I believe I was around the age of 7.
You know what? No, I take it back. No, I couldn't have been 8 or 9. It would have been because we started going to that church. Sorry. I know this is like not helpful for the podcast. So I would have been like 12.
12? Okay. 12. So a little bit older.
Yeah. I was on a worship team already, ironically. Okay. It's a little late, maybe.
So, you know, this is a question that I think has been gaining a lot of steam recently for a number of reasons. I think culturally there's been an uptick of people saying, hey, I was baptized as a kid and I don't think that was really, or I don't think I really understood what was going on.
I thought that was just me. Okay. I didn't know this was like a common universal thing.
And I think it's the reason I think it's birthed out of, especially with our generation.
Yeah.
I just turned 48. So, I mean,
yeah.
But 40, okay, you know. So in the 70s and 80s, especially in the 70s, even in the late 60s, they had these busing ministries, and these busing ministries were was really popular in Baptist churches, whether it was independent Southern Baptist, but busing was huge. Dan and I have talked about this before, but the whole idea is, when you knock on doors in neighborhoods, apartment complexes, typically more impoverished areas, and you would say, "Hey, we're going to bring a bus by, send your kid out," and so literally these churches would send buses out and pick up hundreds, if not thousands, of children.
Talk about Sunday school.
Yes.
I mean, that's like, it was reals.
It was one of the biggest outreaches ever in the history of the American church.
That's why there's all these really old buses at churches. I was like, what is this about?
The bus ministry was huge. And so what you do is you'd have hundreds of kids, if not over 1,000. And, you know, they'd share. It was a very evangelistic gospel message, and the whole idea was to get these kids saved and baptized. And so what happens was, unfortunately, I think the tail starts wagging the dog, and all of a sudden it's about numbers, and as opposed to just truly discipling these kids, it became like, how many numbers are you getting? Very numbers driven. And so,
as everything in church kind of,
and I know there are churches, Dan could testify to this, there are churches that literally would baptize the same kids over and over and over again, so that their numbers of baptism, they could send a letter into the newspaper and say, this is how many people we had baptized this Sunday. It was a huge deal. So I think when I didn't grow up in that, but I would grow up in the kind of the the vapors of that.
Yeah, the cultural milieu.
Yes, or whatever, and so the whole idea of baptizing kids right away, I think, was really prominent. And I think that what that did was, I think the dangers of that resulted in a couple things. Number one, I think it gave people a false assurance.
I think
there were certain people that were like, when you asked them about their salvation, well, I was baptized when I was five. And you're like, yeah, I know you, that probably, I'm not.
It's just a weird way to start the answer to the question of like, do you love Jesus? Like, well, I was baptized
when I was
40
five.
Years ago.
Yeah. It's like, oh. And I haven't been to church since, and I don't care about God, and I don't live for God. But it's just like, there's this sense that many times kids that were baptized and parents point to this is proof that you're a believer, and all the bad theology that goes along with that. But I think baptizing kids too early can give them a false assurance that they really are saved when they're not. Okay. The second thing is, I believe the danger that we've seen is a lot of confused adults. And what I mean by that is, I know I've wrestled with this as a man, like grown individual, saying, I know I think I was a Christian when I, you know, accepted Christ when I was younger, and then I was baptized. But man, I can look at my life and also say, well, at 10, there was a decision I made. And at 14, there was a decision made. And 15, there was. So when did I really get saved?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
There's a beard fallacy kind of a situation happening. What point?
At what point was it truly an understanding of the gospel?
Yeah.
At one point did the Holy Spirit come into my life?
At what point did your name get written?
Yes, right? Because we all know there was a moment of salvation. And so anyways, I think there's been sometimes getting baptized too early produces this confusion, especially when you're older and you're like, man, was that really the thing? And I can be, I've shared this story before, but my wife, she, you know, went to an independent Baptist church, bus ministry, everything. She, quote unquote, got saved at 5 years old,
quote
and like
unquote.
Then 2 weeks later, she's getting dunked. Okay,
2 weeks.
2 weeks later.
Wow, they let her go that long.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Or maybe it was 1 week. I don't know. It was just shortly after it was, you know, dunked them, and you know, obviously did not. She has her own testimony to share, but she did not live for God at all because she wasn't a believer, and she didn't really get saved until right before her senior year of high school.
Wow.
And she could testify to that. And I remember I was a youth pastor. She was my wife, and we were talking about this. And I said, you know, whenever you talk about your salvation, you always are like, I know this was the moment of salvation was right before I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
Because that's when God radically changed my life. Hmm. And I remember asking her, well, were you ever baptized after that? And she's like, no.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of people that have had very similar experiences of, they got baptized really shortly after a profession that wasn't truly salvific. And then it's like, I know I was baptized, but I don't think I really got saved until. So there's this confusion that it produces in them.
Which then I would think leads to another kind of issue of like embarrassment of like, well, I don't want to do like I'm 40, you know, like everyone, I've been on a worship team this whole time. Like we're going to baptize now. And it's going to be weird.
I remember baptizing Liz as a 30-year-old, she was 30 years old, and I was just like, it was humbling. I mean, to be like, I'm the youth pastor's wife, and I'm following the Lord in believers' baptism. But I am so grateful that she was like, it's about obedience. It's not about like what people think of me. So I do think the other thing that, one of the other downsides of baptizing too early is that I think many times children don't really understand the significance and the meaning of baptism. And many times they get baptized for the wrong reasons. I will be honest with you that I remember wanting to get baptized not because I wanted to show everyone I was a believer, it was because I wanted to take communion.
Oh, you had a church that wouldn't let you do communion until after you were baptized.
So my parents would not let me take communion until I was baptized. So
it
was
your parents' decision?
Well, it was my parents' decision, but I think it was kind of like one of these unwritten rules.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, I kept talking to my parents, I want to get baptized. And they kept saying, no, 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 no. And I think it was like they were trying to say, I think they knew, you just look at this as a snack that you're just wanting to eat. You just want to kind of do what everyone else is doing.
Right.
You don't understand the significance of this.
Yeah.
And I think they held it off as long as they could. But yeah. I do understand.
Yeah.
I think a lot of kids are like that. Well, yeah. I want to get baptized. Well, why do you want to get baptized? Because it looks fun, right. You know?
or you feel like you're outside the club.
There's right.
some kind of a club, and you might not fully understand it, yeah. but...
My friend Charlie got baptized. I want to get baptized, too.
Excluded from something. It's clearly not age-based. There's other kids. My friends are out there. Yeah.
So I think there's a very real problem when we baptize too
yeah.
soon.
Yeah.
So how and when? Let's talk about the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do believe there's nothing wrong with baptizing children.
Okay.
I think some churches try to solve the problem. And this is one option mm-hmm. is some churches just have this arbitrary line.
They just pick an age.
I've seen 10, I've seen 12, I've seen 15. But there's individual churches that will say, we will not baptize children until they're this age. Now, again,
yeah.
when we're talking about this conversation, let's just kind of, there's a little asterisk. We're not talking about infant baptism here.
Okay.
Infant baptism, you know, pedo baptism or infant baptism is completely, that's a covenantal okay. theology. Presbyterians, Anglicans, they look at baptism completely differently than we do. Yes. We believe in credo baptism, which is post your salvation post your profession of faith in Jesus.
So no one's really doing that before he's 5 or 6 at the
right,
earliest or
right,
something like that.
Right. Okay. And so there is this, hey, how do we know someone's a real believer? So I think the number one thing you've got to make sure is you've got to make sure their profession of faith is real.
Yeah.
And that is yeah. really it's difficult.
Hugely important.
Yeah. And so you have to really.
How do you do that? Yeah.
As a parent, and this depends on how old they are or, you know, but you as a parent are going to be able to sense the changes of do you see changes in behavior,
yeah,
changes in attitude, changes in sensitivity? I think there's sometimes when they're so young, you're like, man, is this real?
Right.
But I think God will confirm it over time. If your kid, this is just Ben Rudolph speaking here.
Yeah.
This is not the word of God. If my kid made a profession of faith at 5, I would wait at least 3 to 4 years before baptizing
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because
yeah.
I would really want them to know
yeah.
cognitively, do you understand the gospel?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they weren't a believer back then.
Right.
What I am saying is I think many things, it gets back to that confusion thing. Like, did I really understand? Like, I really believe looking
yeah.
back, I really believe I got saved when I was younger, as a
yes.
young child.
Right.
Okay. I do believe that.
Okay.
But I wrestled with that for so long.
Hmm.
And I think that mm-hmm. being baptized, even when I was like age 7, or maybe I was even 8, I'm not sure, quite sure when, mm-hmm. it still left that gap in me that says, man, did I really fully understand the gospel? And in reality, no, I didn't. I didn't fully understand the gospel, but I did understand enough of the gospel to know what I did. And I know my faith in Christ was genuine and real.
Yeah.
And so.
And I just want to add, like, just to make, I think you're saying this, but I'm going to make this even more explicit. Like, when you're trying to figure out, is my kid too old or too young? It is far, far worse to make the mistake of doing this too soon.
Exactly.
Than doing this too late.
Too
like,
late.
We all know too many Christians. Well, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. We all know too many people who call themselves Christians
yeah, yeah.
because they think that they got their fire insurance card.
That's right.
When they did an altar call or
yes.
got baptized or whatever. And so, like, it really, really matters that
they understand.
Sure.
Yeah, that you're sure. And again, this does not mean that people can't apostatize, and that's a whole other conversation.
Define that for us.
it means people that claim to at one point be a follower of Jesus, and then reject everything. So that's still a possibility,
yeah.
right? But I do think that there should be a sense of, hey, as a parent, make sure there is evidence mm-hmm. of their salvation. So number one, you got to make sure that they actually have a profession of faith.
Yeah.
And again.
You can't be the one.
And I think that parents even struggle with this. How much do they push that? How much do they,
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think what I would do, that might be a whole other show.
Okay.
But I do think that you should wait for them to start asking questions.
I totally agree.
There needs to be a curiosity on their part. You know, because we all know as parents, you could get your kid to pray a prayer at the age of 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. 8. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just you can definitely do that.
Yeah.
But that might not be the work of the Holy Spirit. That might be the work of mom and dad.
Yeah.
And so
they might not be really like hearing the Holy Spirit then at age 14.
Right. Yes.
Because they're like, oh, I already did that when I was 7.
Yes. Right. Exactly. So I think wait for them to be curious. Wait for them to sense the conviction of sin in their own life. But so wait for their profession, number one. Number two, look for evidence. And what I mean by that, even as a child, a couple things that I think you need to be aware of. Number one, is there any sign of a conviction of sin? Like when you confront them on their sin, are they... And I'm not, they're not sorry they got caught. They're sorry for what they did.
Yeah.
You as a parent can tell when there's true remorse of, I'm so sorry that I hurt this person or I hurt you or I hurt God.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there has to be a conviction of sin. If your kid is always like, well, I didn't mean, like always defensive, never willing to take ownership of their wrongdoing.
Yeah.
There's something not jiving with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And also, if your kid's doing this at age 6, I don't know.
Yeah. So I think there's a conviction of sin. I think there's also a sensitivity to spiritual things. And at a certain age, I think that you can see that for in certain ways.
Tell me about that.
For example, you have a child, even at a young age, that are like, Mom and Dad, aren't we going to pray tonight? Yeah. Aren't we going to read the Bible tonight? Like, there's a desire to do that. There's a desire for the Bible. There's a desire for prayer. There's a desire for church. There's a desire for the things that go with the Christian faith, that they're like, I want more of that.
Yeah.
That, I think, to see that sensitivity, I think, is important. I think also there's a kindness that they have. Mm-hmm. Children, by nature, are selfish. It doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect in this, but you see a kindness towards others. There are moments where they view loving others as a priority in their life. Mm-hmm. Again, they're kids. They're not going to do this perfectly, but you see enough of this to say that was a God moment in their life.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think all of those are all things that you can point to and say, okay, look for the evidence. The third component I would say is, make sure they understand the meaning and the significance of baptism. This goes back to my, like, I just want to have a snack at church, or you just said, a lot of these kids, they don't want to be left out of the club.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to do a very good job. And I love what we do here at Life Fellowship is we have our children's director, Rebecca, does a great job. Trey, our student life pastor, does a great job of when a kid expresses a desire for baptism, they meet with them, they talk with them, they explain things to them. Mm. We used to have a baptism class. I think we try to just kind of do it because when you're trying to schedule appointments for all these people, it just is really hard. So we just try to do it one-on-one now, which I actually think is actually better.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you actually have conversations with people and you're able to say, hey, you know what? You know what, Mom and Dad? I think they're just not ready yet. It doesn't mean that they're not a believer. It just means they need to be a little bit older.
You're going to be more likely and it's going to be easier to sense things.
And I think there's also maturity component of, you know, you bring a 5-6-year-old up in front of the entire church.
Yeah.
They could freak out.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with their faith. It just means their maturity.
Right.
Going in front of church and doing this is just, it's really difficult.
It's a lot.
So I think you need to wait until they are old enough to understand and comprehend what the significance of baptism, the meaning of baptism, this is why we do it. And that just requires a little bit of maturity and intellect.
Do you think, this just occurred to me, do you think that a potential signpost for parents is when their child would actually be looking forward to the baptism as opposed to like... freaking out or being like nervous or feeling a little bit pushed into it?
Is I think that there should be some excitement. There should be like, I'm so glad I'm doing this. So again, this is, I hate drawing lines in the sand at this age.
Right.
For me, I would hesitate baptizing anyone younger than 10. That's just me. After being in ministry, after being a pastor for 24 years, after seeing what I've seen, and I baptized all my kids prior to 10. Sometimes I wish I would have waited for their sake.
Sure.
But I do think that I would, and again, sometimes you meet these kids at 8 years old and they're like, they're mature, they get it. I totally understand that. And if a parent wants to sign off on that, great.
Right.
But I do think 10 is that age that I would personally, I'm not drawing this in concrete, but I am kind of saying, let's kind of make this a fuzzy line that we, that as parents, we kind of wait for, because again, I want my kid to be mature enough and to comprehend enough what's really going on here. Yeah. So again, what I would say in conclusion, number one, don't rush it. Mm-hmm. As a mom and dad, praise God. If your kid at 5 years old makes a profession, I'm not saying it wasn't real. I'm not saying it could be genuine.
Right.
Okay. Right. But don't rush it.
Yeah.
Don't rush the baptism. I think the second one is don't be passive about it either.
Hmm.
Okay. So if your kid makes a profession, don't never talk about it.
Right.
Don't be like, well, when they're ready, they'll talk to me. I mean, yeah, there's part of that, but I think they need, you are there as a parent to disciple them. And if there's going to be times when they're younger to say, you know, when you're old enough and you understand what baptism is, we want you to be baptized. You've made this profession and you'll know when to have those conversations. But some parents are so passive. They're like, they never say anything.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the right. So don't rush. Don't be passive. And I think that the third thing I would say is involve the church. You know, you as a parent are going to know your kids better than anyone, but it's always helpful, man, to get that children's director, that Sunday school teacher, the youth pastor, or even Pastor Dan, myself, to say, hey, I see this. Do you see this as well? The wisdom of the community of the body of Christ is, that's what we're here for.
It takes a lot of humility.
Yeah. And so learn how to lean on the body because I'll tell you what, pastors and leaders like Trey and Pastor Dan, myself, and even Rebecca, we have met with hundreds of people and hundreds of kids. And we know what to ask and what things we're looking for to kind of like the triggers of, oh, they're not ready or they're ready.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't underestimate how valuable not only the training, but the years of experience of dealing with people that these pastors have.
It's absolutely
just not something that you just get. There's a reason that all of that time is spent. Absolutely. Really quick question for you. You said something interesting toward the beginning, and maybe you were referencing a former podcast, but we're on like 500 something, and I only got here like 40 episodes ago, so I haven't heard them all, and a bunch of other people haven't.
Yeah.
You said there's bad theology around baptism and to be careful around that. And so can you just kind of maybe lightning round, what do you mean by the bad theology around baptism?
I think what I meant was the story I shared about the bus ministry, that it purely was about getting numbers. And so whole idea of we've got to make sure our numbers of baptisms are up higher this year than last year. And the pressure, I mean, I've been there where it's like the pastor in charge is with a whip saying, you better have people. And when that pressure exists within a church context, you will baptize people that have no right being baptized.
Oh, every
and
week.
So that's what I'm saying. It's really bad ecclesiology, bad soteriology, but it's like they're letting the desire for greater numbers drive behavior that is really bad.
Right. It's they're not being driven specifically by what they believe about God. There's something more about what they believe about people or how they want to be seen or something like that.
100%.
Yeah, that's a great clarification.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I hope this is, if you're a parent, I even if you're a young person, I hope that you've heard this conversation. It's been an encouragement to you. You know, talk to your kids about this. And I think you'll be surprised at the kinds of things that you'll end up talking about. This is a great, it's the most important decisions you make as a parent, and we want to assist you and help you to make the best decision possible for your family. This has been another episode of Life Talks. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.